episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, good morning, good day, good night, good year, good decade, good century, good millennium. This is the Bongversations episode number 47 on the, my date's the 12th of October and Dave is on the 11th of October and it's the episode 47 which adds up to 11.
And exactly.
Dave's going to blow your head off again, be told, guaranteed. Dave, welcome to Bongversations on truthmeets.com. Where we started, 22 episodes.
We did 1 through 22. And then, that was a good time. 2, 2, so the 11 twice. Take a look at this. So if we have 47, and then if you just want to put that down on a piece of paper, 4 and the 7, you look over to the right where you add it up, that's your 11, which you just mentioned, or your 2, which is your concern. If you go to the left where you'd subtract it, you get your 3. 3 plus 2 is 5, that's your senses. So now this is going to be the idea of your 4-7 is not just just a random number. It's going to be the entry point. It's going to be what's also known as if you arrange them properly, it makes the swastika or the sun sign. And then, of course, as that spins, the radiations or the ripples is what then the reflected story is. So now we're as we've been talking about since episode one. Now we're to the point of the Yuval, and that's the so-called 47th spirit is Yuval, U-V-A-L.
Wow.
So Yuval.
So does that not trigger? That triggers me. That Yuval Noah Hariri in America, the one of those evil types that are telling you how you're going to live your life by coincidence. Oh, yeah.
And Yuval, just so you know, just so we're talking about the same thing, is the direct in the light spectrum, starting at 430 nanometers, is the beginning of your violet. Or your UV, your UVA, UVB, into UVC. 43, 7, the idea of mind, the idea of Yuval, who is going to present to you. He presents himself as a camel, the idea of this respite from the desert, or a store of water, right? So then remember that. Midnight in the oasis, sit your camel to bed. So the camel then, the camel of the idea is now the carrier of water. Now let's think about that water, because we're going to cover the 47th problem of Euclid.
Euclid, yep.
Which is the idea of the Masonic mystery of what that gap, what the gap represents. So then if you go to... So remember, I just talked about the idea of the camel and the water. So then, if you go to John 4, 7, that's the particular point, the manifestation of where there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." So it's the point of contact. All right, that's quite interesting, because now you have to flip that idea into the the idea of a 7-4, right? So then let's go into Matthew 7-4. Let's flip it. And then it says, how wilt thou say to your brother or your sister, let me pull out the mote in your eye and behold the beam in your own eye, meaning that you're trying to pull out a root or an error from someone while you still have the beam, which think of beam of light,
yeah,
in your own eye. You're still blinded. So then that's this idea of the swastika, the sun sign, the attraction or the point. So you see how all that then works out. It all works together.
Very Aquarian now, as well, with all this water business.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the bearer of water, this is also, when you go through the story of the Samaritan woman, Christ says, I am the true living water, meaning those that drink no longer thirst. If you drink from that well, which is the representation of the world, you will thirst again, meaning that you'll be satisfied for a minute. You'll like the sound of that. Oh, that sounds great. But then as you walk away, you're already thirsty again. Because it
a bit like Chinese takeaway. A bit like Chinese takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, and then let's get to the 47th of Euclid. Now, what this is the idea, if you can picture it, think of it's going to be a phallic symbol, or think of the Washington Monument with two square balls on top of irregular shape being balanced.
Yeah.
That's that's what that is.
Well,
now, what we're talking about and what we're about to discuss and what this whole idea of the sun sign is to figure out what's in that center point, that triangle, the triangle, or you have to square the triangle. So the square is the square of three, because you have the triangle between that. You have, so between that point and those two cubes, mis-sized cubes, that's called Euclid's theorem, meaning that that's the beam that cannot be accounted for. So how then can you balance the system while there's that error? Because this is an error system, it's hell. So you have to then, how do you still have a balanced system or a working operating system with taking into account that there's always going to be that gap that you can't fill? However, it's because their minds are clouded because they don't know truth, that it's a problem for them. But there is a solution, because it's quite easy, because the square of three is nine. All right. So then you have your three and your nine. The square of four is 16. So then you have your 16. That, of course, is 6 + 1 = 7. Now, the sum of 9 and 16 is 25. That's your 7. 2 + 5 = 7. That represents the hypotenuse. So when they give you this theorem that says that any right triangle is the sum of the squares of the two sides is equal to the square of the hypotenuse, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it sounds neat when you say it fast, but it's simply looking at, they already told you that the only thing you need to think about is what's assigned to the hypotenuse, and that's 25. And you already know what that means. That's the 7. Or what is the idea of contained in that gap? That is the answer to the question.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So now do you remember that in the and the way this is kind of shown in Hollywood is that the Scarecrow, when he somehow thought of himself as already as being gifted with a brain, he goes,
Wizard of Oz.
Some of the square roots, what's that?
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz. He says the sum of the square of the what does he say? Square roots of any two sides of the isosceles triangle. They screw that up intentionally, I want to say, is equal to the square root of the remaining side. So he does a riff off of Euclid's theorem.
Theorem in the movie, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does, and they purposely mess it up, is the point.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So then, and also just to kind of go back, because there's so many different layers to looking at just what each one of these numbers means specifically, because they're all individual and they all have very specific routes you can take through the logic, through the ladder logic of the script. But if you continue with the Samaritan story, you're going to deal with, it's going to deal with Jacob's well, and the woman asking, "Are you then better than this, Jacob?" And of course the answer is yes. So, but then Jacob itself, remember last week we talked about like the father of Mary and the Heli character, but the father of Joseph is Jacob also. So there's two Jacobs in the script. The one talked about the well, but Jacob is also the father of Joseph, which is, see, so then, so everything is just one separation. So each, so as you go down these different, almost like we talked about before, the choose your own adventure, that they all connect quite logically. And if logic fails, then the truth fails, because hypocrisy has no part of the truth, period. You find hypocrisy, it's not true. Walk away. walk away. So then I went ahead and I wanted to bring up the film Tron Ares. We talked about that before.
So I just mentioned to you, as I'm driving through Sydney on Friday night, I look at the electronic bus stop signs and Tron Ares is everywhere. So they want you to watch that movie, or the big push for you to watch that movie.
Yeah, so if you take Tron, T-R-O-N, in simple gematria, that's 67, reduced to 13, or 4. So that's the first part of our show title, 4. If you take Aries, A-R-E-S, that's 43, that's your 7.
7, boom.
Tron, Aries, 47. All right. So then there's there's your title. So that's the way I worked it into the title.
Fantastic. So, well done.
Yeah, man.
Clap for Dave.
Clap, clap, clap. And then add it up together, you get your 110. That's your 11.
11, yeah.
You see? Yeah, and then also 110 is quite interesting, because the 110, and just because this deals with high tech, it deals with the kind of the competition between Incom and the Dillinger group. But also 110 in simple gematria also equals Elon Musk.
Does it?
It sure does. It also equals Adolf Hitler.
So I don't know why I'm laughing. I don't know why.
It's all because it's funny. It's best to laugh at all this nonsense. It's best to laugh, because once you see the script for what it is, it's a clown show. It also equals, guess what? Speaking of clowns, bring your monkey. It also equals Ronald Reagan.
Incredibly, we cannot underestimate how big a guy he was in the history of the last 50 years. Oh, yeah. Big story, Ronald Reagan. That's this room at 1899. So to be there.
Also, the introduction of the actor instead of that they're all acting, which they are all acting. This is the introduction of the actor who's going to be presented to you more often on the TV screen than the previous. So this is like the first guy who's going to be like doing skits and bits. You know, they call them bits, bits and skits. And also Hypnotic is 110. The TV, the idea of the Hypnotic.
Interesting. How many levels of the tower? Wasn't there 110 floors in the tower?
Adolf, 911. Speaking of 911, Twin Tower, 911 spelled out is 110.
It's simple. Fantastic.
Yeah.
This is too much of a coincidence. This is mathematical.
Of course. It's all the script. Everything in the script is mathematical. That's why the numbers are important. That's why everything is broken down into chapter and verse, not to make it easier to read, but because it has to do with the script. It has to do with mathematics.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people would have forgotten how to do it, so they had to break it into chapter and verse. Otherwise, the code would have been lost. So then,
absolutely.
Yeah. You also have. Look, before I move on, 110. Famously recently, COVID vaccine.
Is that what it adds up to?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
So then these are all these all these are all 110 powers. These are the answers to the question of the Euclid's theorem. That gap, theorem. What's in that gap? Those are in those. Those ideas are in those.
And when we say 110, we are saying 11, aren't we?
Which, guess what? It's 11 first, and then as it gets reduced, because remember, everything in this place is a negative. It's always falling. So then it's 11 first, or it's 110 first, then it's 11, then it's, guess what? 2.
Yep.
In its final form. Concern. A twin. It's a concern. Yep. Alpha, Adolf Hitler's a concern. The COVID vaccine's a concern. Elon Musk is a concern, one way or the other. Ronald Reagan, a concern, one way or the other. The idea of 911 is a concern, one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right. So then, you look at these stories, and then this is, like I say, that is the answer to that beam. That these are the lights that's being spoken about. These are the lights that blind someone in their eye. If they are a fan, or if they are a follower of, let's say, the Ronald Reagan character or the Adolf Hitler, if you know any of those white power kind of those that want to
Elon Musk,
to revisit the Third Reich, and all that. Oh, you know, those ones that still wear costume and cosplay. Any of the Elon Musk, for or against, it doesn't matter if you're for or against something. By the way, if you're engaged, that's all they need out of you, because your power is being wasted. So just if the system can have you engaged in something, it doesn't matter, and they don't care if you're for it or against it, as long as your time is being spent there.
They talk about the deadlights, or the dead. Yeah, there's something about the deadlights.
The dead eyes, dead lights are always eyes, and the idea of the spiritual. So yeah, just the dead lights are the dead eyes. Now, also, let's talk about, let's get more into the Tron movie a little bit. Speak about the 47, because you know the 19 cycle is the Metonic cycle, but you also have a 47-year cycle of Mars, where you have 22 780-day cycles pushed 22. There's your 2-2, or your 11-11 idea, or your 4, or your false door. But this is the idea of Mars, Earth, and the Sun lining up, but also in addition that the stars behind it are in the same position. That alone tells you that if that happens every 47 years, nothing's going anywhere.
Yep.
That's a four-way lineup. So that's a 47-year cycle.
Isn't it interesting at the moment, right now, I think around now is the four-planet retrograde going on, which is quite interesting.
Four is always, like I say, four always, you can always, no matter what details offered to you in the story, if the number, the 2, the 3, the 4, whatever details being offered, you can strip it away and just look at the number by itself first.
Yeah.
And then let's look at the detail of, for this example, let's say for this example, the Tron Aries. Let's go right to the actor, then you would know. One, you would know the one playing is Jared Leto, right? You know,
oh man, is he in it? So that guy does not appear out of nowhere.
He's the main dude. He's like,
so he's replaced Jeff Bridges. He's replaced Jeff Bridges.
No, he's not.
Okay,
no, he plays Ares, which is a newly created AI model, which is then brought into the so called real world. Oh, I'll tell you, I'll give you a little review of it in a minute. But
you've seen the movie. I just have to say to the audience, Dave's actually seen this movie.
Yeah.
He's witnessed it. He's a first person witness.
Came out on 10/10. Yeah, first hand witness. So it came out on 10/10,
which is 11.
2025.
Okay, 11.
2025, which is 9.
Boom. That's 9/11 then. Boom. Yeah.
in the mirror. Yeah, man. So. And let's go back 47 years before we forget and kind of think about some of the movies that came out back then. So 47 years ago, you would have had in October, you would have had Halloween came out.
Wow.
The first one.
I saw it then.
Oh, you did?
But Halloween, when it came out, that really took things to a different level for horror movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Now, hey, sure. Rick, if I told you that it came out on 10/10/2025, which is 9/11 backwards, or 1/1/9, and then that, you'd say, oh, that's interesting. That's quite. But what if I told you the running time of the film is also 119 minutes?
It does not surprise me. Yeah. That's why whenever I go into Wikipedia and look up, it could be some obscure thing. I'll suddenly look at the running time or production date or whatever. And it's always you got your 9/11s all through them. Yep.
And then once you see that, then you know what you're going to be offered, and then you can recognize it.
Here for the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Good evening. We're back on Dave, Jay, Rick, talking about Tron on Bongversations, episode number 47. So keep going, Dave.
Yeah. So 47 years ago, you had Boys from Brazil come out. I want to say October as well.
Well,
that of course, dealing Gregory with
Gregory Peck, who was in the Omen. Just remember that. Mm-hmm. There's a coincidence there. Mm.
Yeah, the ambassador. He played Ambassador to Thorn. Yeah. Oh, this was an interesting one. Battlestar Galactica, the pilot came out in 78.
On TV, you're talking about?
Yeah, in TV. Now, do you know that yours truly, I saw the actual props for those.
Wow. Whereabouts in California?
For those. I was down in California. There was you have like City of Industry and a couple other little places that have these small shops where these models are built. So I saw the Galactica, which, well, here's the thing with the battles. They were a little over 6 foot long or so and a couple feet across, and they would run a camera along them. And so the Galactica that you saw is also the Pegasus, is also the Atlantia. It's also the Columbia. And what are some of the other ones? The Acropolis, the Rikon. You know how once in a while they show you a different Battlestar? That was just, they would just change the nameplate, but it was always the same model.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they were so detailed, though, man. They were so detailed. And what it was stable. There was a table, but there was a little a railroad track right in front of it, on either side. And the camera would run down, and you could lift and lower the camera.
Yeah.
This stuff
does not date, you know, because Kubrick used the same techniques for 2000. Well, they actually got 2001 Space Odyssey where they model all the stuff off anyway. And it still looks fantastic when you watch it on TV. It's on the movies. It holds its own.
I always thought models look. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh well, they do look. If you know how to, you know, you can see the fake, but they do look better than CGI after 50 years. Obviously,
they look great, man. Because you can put so much detail in them, and the detail has a depth that CGI cannot fake.
Yeah.
It just has a certain depth to it that I really like. So, and I know Napoleon Wilson's a big fan of models too. He loves movies with models. So, he would also have liked, and you would like this too. But I also saw the little fighters, the little Viper Mark, you know, the 1-2 and the sevens. By the way, one of them was a Mark 7.
How big were they? Were they like a dinner table size? You know, something for an average table from your dining room, or bigger?
No, those would have been about. I'm actually kind of putting my hands out just to get a. They're only about 3.5 foot long or so.
Okay.
And there was a stick you could put into them. So when you had the big breakaway scene, you know, like you know how the scene at the beginning, they would reuse it in almost every episode where the little Vipers were running, and then they would do the hard left or the hard right.
Yep.
Well, all you have is a guy with, it's on a stick, and the guy you just twist it with your hand, and it's going to turn to the right or left, and then you just go down and pull it back into you, and that gives it that sweeping effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how
the magic of film. Yeah. Film is incredible what you can do with with particularly the, as you said, the little rail track so the camera sits on it and just cruises past. But to you, sitting at home or at the movies, you see that ship coming towards you very slowly going past. Star Wars, same techniques and same model company probably.
Because you had the X-Wing and the Y-Wing. All those were just TIE fighters.
TIE fighters, et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
Yep, yep. Yeah, man. So then...
Back to Tron. Back to Tron.
Back to Tron, man. So what happens is, I'll just kind of give you a brief overview of the beginning. This was quite interesting. So when the picture opens, you have the character of who plays the kind of like the bad guy, the grandson of Dillinger. In the first one, you had the control program guy, or the vice president of the company was Dillinger. Yep. Well, now his grandson or his grandson is now been elevated to the executive level. So now he's presenting the new AI, which is Ares. And so he presents like a battle tank, and then Ares steps out of, and that's of course Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leto. And he's looking around doing his thing, and he gives a few little smart remarks, and then they kind of move on forward. And what I kind of want to tell you is how the codes introduced right away in this film is before this is even happens in the kind of the beginning credits part, they're showing you how when the Dillinger character starts the program for Ares. He clicks, he executes, it then goes into the computer, and guess what? It forms the human eye.
The universe, which is inside the universe.
It forms a human eye, man.
Well,
you can't. And I was like, dude, I could have made that. I'm telling you. So it was, when I saw it, I was like, dude, that's awesome. So I'll just get to the point. Half of this movie could have found the cutting room floor and it wouldn't have been missed. But half of it was pretty good.
Oh, that's good. So, if Dave J 50% review of a good film, it must be good.
I really liked, and I'll tell you, I'll jump right to the part I really liked is when they reintroduced the cycle. They had a new cycle, and it's actually on the cover art of the poster, the new kind of cycle that they ride that sends out the beam of light out the back end, the wall cycle.
Oh, so that's actually on the cover of that's on the poster.
Yeah, that's on the poster. The new version, which is kind of it's fancy looking, but man, when later in the film when they reintroduce the actual old version cycle, that's like you geek out big time if you saw that movie back as a day. I was like, man, it still looks good.
Mm.
It still looks sharp, man. In fact, I think it looks better than the new one because they have this part of the movie where they jump back into I'll give you a little bit, but then I'll get back to it. They jump back into the old mainframe. So you see like this 80s version of the Tron.
Atari version.
Yeah, and you see the newer version, which is pretty slick. I'll tell you that, pretty slick. But you also have the Jared Leto whose band is 30 Seconds to Mars, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked about him before. And there's a couple songs that they didn't use any of their music, but they probably could have used Escape, or they could have used This Is War. They should have used.
Speaking of Mars, War, Elon Musk, who's another man associated with Mars big time.
Mars, Go ahead.
No, I'm saying Elon Musk and Mars go hand in hand. He's always on about Mars.
Well, remember last week we talked about the 46 and Palladium, and we talked about the Palladium holding. Guess what? The female, the idea of the Isis that type of character, and now so Athena, that character, Jared Leto's right hand woman is because he is in the movie he's Ares. His right hand woman is a black woman named Athena.
There you go.
Which we just talked about last week. So they were just they're it's just constantly
predictive predictive programming on the Bongversation episode number 46.
Number 46. Yeah, that's 46 Palladium. Because now we're looking at, of course, I should have mentioned that before I go farther into the movie. We're at 47 now, so that would be, of course, Silver.
Yep.
Silver is the 47th. And then that's always looked at kind of across. Well, let's go to the script. It's going to be shown as Betrayal, the 30 pieces of silver. And that would be in Matthew 26:15. It's also then in Proverbs, let's say Proverbs 10:20, which is your 3G idea. It's the idea of speech and divine wisdom, or the idea of speech and wisdom, or the idea of testing speech for its value. That's
and if you're referred to as silver tongued, it means you're a good talker, a smooth talker.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it also deals with, in kind of folklore, silver deals with the moon, the silvery moon.
Mm-hmm.
The moon also deals with the idea of Athena, deals with Isis.
Oh, yeah.
It's also, just so you know, we're talking about the computer, we're talking about connecting nodes. Silver is seen as a spiritual conduit. So a connection between the physical and the mystical realms. So then it's used as a purifying metal in, let's say, Golden Dawn traditions and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So they're magical utensils that they have on their little, their little tray. A lot of them will be silver because,
silver's the purifying water.
Yeah.
Colloidal silver, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Hermeticism, it goes back again to the moon and the idea of the subconscious, the idea of the subconscious or the violet moving into the UV, that kind of that bruised area. Because if you take the blue and the red, the love and the law, the combination after the hit, it becomes the bruise or the violence.
Yep. Which is what a bruise is usually violet. Black and blue.
It's going to be violet. Yeah, that. So your bruise, black and blue, and then of course that's the black is of course the absence of the red. The red's removed. So then that's really going to be the seven laws of Noahide, which will be coming, the one world order type of, as most people probably should know, because if you take 4 times 7, that's 28, which reduces to 16, which is 7. So just know that the gap that they're going to give you in the New World Order is going to be called the seven Noahide laws. Look those up if you want to see what's coming. All right, you're not
going to... Yeah, really, really important information there.
Yeah, you're not going to like it. Oh, and I'll put in the back video that I do for YouTube, because Joel and I are working on a way to do this, and... I'll put out a video a couple days later, because sometimes I need a little bit more time and I think of something else I should have put in the video.
That's fantastic. If you've got Joel, you've got the expert production skills of Joel, the greatest producer ever, guaranteed, out there. Fantastic. Good to be back here on truthmeets.com. Good to be back here on truthmeets.com.
Yeah, so I was thinking, I was also wanting to then, now let's jump back to the movie, because before we do, I just wanted to say this, that remember the woodman you within the Wizard of Oz, you also have the woodman or the tin man, so then you have the scarecrow who's looking, but you also have then the tin man as well, or the tin, the input output man. So that's just, or the cowardly lion. They're all just different manifestations of really the lost man or lost character, the lost, man as far as, male, female. They all represent just a different kind of a character, but of the same lost. Even Dorothy's kind of the full functioning representation, but the other ones are just kind of fragments of that personality, really.
Yep.
If you look at it that way. So 47. Before I get back to the movie, because this all helps. In simple gematria, 47 is the same as time. T-I-M-E. It, me. So you see there's two words that make up one word. It, me, make up time. And it, is the idea of the clown or the concern. So, and then it also beast, which is nothing more than the B before the East. So that is why you have a lot of those. Yeah, the B before the East. And that's why a lot of these different cultures pray to the East or face East.
They do.
Face the sun, be east. You know, but it's the same as beast. And it also goes to 47. And the if you want to look at prophecy, you go to Isaiah 47, because that's simply talking about what is the falling of Babylon, or what will be the falling of Babylon.
Yeah.
It also deals with bull, B-U-L-L, the idea that the animal bull, you know. So
you're B-U-L-L.
Not only, yeah, but if it sounds like it is it, but so that's the spiritual idea of bull, meaning that it's bull, it's nonsense.
Especially if also, it's also nonsense. Before we move on from the area, what's the name? I mentioned it before, one of the biggest stingers out there had his tour almost sounding exactly the same as the Tron Ares, but
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you're talking her
latest with the slightly changed spelling.
Slightly changed spelling, but says the same.
Sounds like is like.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Sounds like is like. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and in fact, that's just with the idea of that Taylor Swift man-woman thing. That's really just with the different spelling is giving you that Baphomet type of vibe or idea.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if you look at speaking of bull, you have Malachi, which is also 47. That goes back to, if you ever listen to a guy named Father Malachi Martin, who was on Art Bell.
Yep.
He did a lot of demonic stuff. He also did a lot of the so-called Secrets of Fatima, which, of course, was
the Catholic. Murder. Yeah, the big Catholic.
Yeah, that's kind of the secrets of the sun and that kept people in knots for close to half a century.
I'd say it's still keeping them in knots, Dave. Yeah. I don't think it's gone away.
Yeah, so you see, you can just make these stories have legs. And I should also then mention, before I forget and we get back to Aries, is that the Yuval demon, while it presents itself as a camel, so it might present itself as a camel in a dream, you might see
two humps full of water. Two humps full of water.
So you see it. Yeah. So you see it as a saving grace, but then it changes into a human. So you might then, if you dream, you're going to see it, but then you're talking to a person. You didn't see the energy. You didn't see it change. And then it's going to speak. Like an imperfect Egyptian type of, but not so you'll, and the way you'll know it's bullshit is because Egyptian's bullshit. So it's going to have to speak to you in English. Just know that. Just anytime you deal with these, because these powers are actually, you can run into them and you will run into them as you get farther into this stuff.
Particularly the Egyptian imagery and story is everywhere still.
Just tell it, command it to speak to you plainly. That's all. And then even in your dream, it will speak to you in your native language, whatever that is. So if you're listening to this and English is not your first language, command it to speak to you in your language. It will work. Just know that. And so then in the movie, so this is what I found interesting. So you have Flynn pontificating at the beginning, almost reminiscent of a Matrix scene, to where he has like an old style tube TV sitting on a stand in kind of digital wasteland where it's just an open grid, and he's pontificating on the TV screen. And that's really a throwback to the previous movie, which would have been Tron Legacy back in 2010.
Yep.
Because you had Tron in 1982, you had Tron Legacy in 2010, you had Tron Uprising, which was a cartoon series, which ran for a year around 2012 or so. Then you add, this, of course, the latest one would be this one, Tron Ares.
So this is the fourth Tron.
Fourth, yeah. The fourth, okay. Third movie, fourth entry. And those that like cartoons, take a look at Uprising. So then they have a big geek concert or a geek festival where they're introducing the latest game, and this is in the movie, and of course there's it deals with space paranoids, and that's a layover from the original. The space paranoids was the original first game, and it's also kind of the game talked about in this movie. Now, if you look at...
Sorry, listening to Bongversation 47.
Mm-hmm. No matter what your age...
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
They all work back to the point.
Yeah, you're back now on then, Bongversation 47.
Yeah, so then if you take a look at kind of the way the first part of the movie goes, after the eye is formed and the Jared Leto character is presented, which is Ares, he's presented to the world. And the first thing he sees that throws him off or causes feeling, which is feeling is the root of the downfall of the Ares, is that he gets his feeling from the water or from the water drops. And he makes a joke about an umbrella. Umbrella, ella, ella. All right? And that's the first joke, or that's like the break. Because before, everyone's kind of scared of him. Then he makes the joke about the umbrella, and then everybody's laughing, blah, blah, blah. So then if you look at what happens is in the movie, they're looking for something called a permanence code. Because as soon as all the investors leave, this Aries that was presented in the physical world, at 29 minutes, 29, which is your 9/11,
yep.
9 plus 2 is 11, 9/11, he dissipates, he just crumbles. So the Gillian Anderson, which she plays the, let me tell you.
So is she in the movie?
She plays the mother.
Whoa, so this is a big movie then, if you've got X-Files goddess Gillian Anderson and Jared Leto.
She plays the mother of the Dillinger. She plays the mother of Dillinger, and Dillinger, of course, is the bad guy who's played by a guy named Evan Peters. Now, but she affects the worst accent, man. She's like, I can't believe you did that. And I'm like,
Is she playing an English woman? Or an American?
That's tough.
She does a very good English accent. I would have to say that.
You're going to have to watch this, and if that's good, I think she's too cute by half. She's the only one actually that I give a F to as far as performance. F.
Oh, okay.
You there heard you it here first. All right. Jared Leto gets all the rest of them actually get an A. They all did pretty well. She gets an F. Well, Jeff Bridges gets a C because he just did nothing but the dude. He just did the dude character for a minute, you know.
Great, one of his best roles. I have to reiterate that one. If you're going to watch a movie, the Jeff Bridges, the dude in that movie, whatever it's called.
Yeah, he was, and then so he kind of when he kind of phoned in his. He phoned it in. The rest of them weren't bad. Leto wasn't bad. Greta Lee wasn't bad. Although she played the female who was in the real world, who was the one who gets digitized and then saved. Her name's Eve. Eve.
It ties in with the apple.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, speaking of that, the her sidekick at the company is a character played by Arturo Castro. His name is Seth. That's guess who? The third child of Eve.
Yes,
in the Bible story. Exactly. Guess what? Seth, also, yeah, Seth, 3G7, Seth, also the idea of the one who plays just like in this movie as kind of like a handmaiden almost to the Eve character. If you read the Book of Adam and Eve, when Seth basically just carries her purse around,
yeah,
just to let you know. And so to get back to the story of the apple and the tree idea is now their company that you have the Dillinger company who's competing with Incom, which is the Jeff Bridges, you know, the original company that was he was seeing
the original Tron film.
Yeah, the original Tron company. So they're in competition for this thing. To become or what's called the permanence code. Permanence code, that's important. The permanence code is what gets them past that 29 minutes or that 9/11. Now, spiritually speaking, the permanence code is what gets you then past the constant dying to the world every day and reliving or doing the groundhog experience, never getting past the fallen system. You know, never knowing anything real, which most people do. So then you have the Gillian Anderson, the one kind of longest part she has, or the most important part, is she asks the son a question. She says, "Did you not tell them that it only lasts 29 minutes?"
About 29 minutes.
She says 25 minutes. She says 25, and he immediately corrects her, 29, which is your 9/11. But she says 25, which is your 7. And that's where I said, okay, well, now we're getting somewhere. So I waited. So the way that the movie went was she said 7 in the form of 25. He immediately corrected her at 29, which is your 9/11. And then it switched to the other company who's pushing it, and their first two – their first two introductions of numbers was 29 and 29 again. So then when you add those numbers up, you basically run back into a 29. And then, for the next several interactions in the film, they're banging 29 at the audience.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
And I found that quite interesting because it was brought in by that 7. By that Gillian Anderson brought in specifically, you know,
there's nothing accidental about these numbers. There's nothing accidental about these numbers.
Yeah. So it was quite specific. So, and then guess what? They get, Eve grabs an old 5 1/4 floppy. She pops in the machine because they have to get the permanence code off of an old computer that, Kevin Flynn left, the Jeff Bridges character back in the 80s. So they're punching up the 5 1/4 disc. They're loading up the program. Remember how you had to keep swapping them, putting in disc one, then two, boom, boom, boom. They finally get the code, and it manifests, the code manifests as guess what? The double helix. So it manifests as the double helix, nothing more than the twisted pair. A twisted pair is nothing more than the idea of a thermocouple, really.
Yeah.
And then they create the first thing they create with this permanence code is an orange tree, because an apple tree would have been too obvious.
They had to kind of put a bit of a glitch in the code just to other people who are going, this has got so much significance, every single thing you've said so far.
Oh, yeah. And so you know what they're saying? It's like as it's manifesting, everyone in the audience is thinking, apple tree, apple tree, apple tree, orange tree. I saw it from a mile away. I was like, oh, that's got to be an apple tree, orange tree. Well, then also, but then orange is also then represented in the idea of the Masonic Lodge as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really just...
And the President of America. And the President of America was the Orange Man.
Mm-hmm. And Orange Julius's, which are really good, by the way. If you've ever had have you ever had an Orange Julius?
I'm from I grew up in New Zealand, we used to have the Orange Festival every August, and it was an orange... a citrus-based thing. It was twinned with a town in California somewhere.
Oh.
But so I'm big on oranges. But no, an Orange Julius, I don't know the name. I've never heard of it.
What it is it is usually at malls that you'd get an Orange Julius, and they'd usually be close to
it's a drink.
In the food court. And what it is it's orange juice, or what they say is orange juice, ice, and a mystery powder. And it's thick, and it's delicious. It's delicious.
Hey, well, we'll have to find out about that.
Wonderful. Yeah, Orange Julius is. They're wonderful.
There you go.
So as the so I gave you kind of a little bit of the code. That was all just in the first little few minutes. Everything we just talked about is all just in the first few minutes. Because the cycle race, where they're racing around town with the motorcycle with the beam in the back, that kind of caused it, you know. That scene went on a little bit too long, I thought. And then they didn't spend enough time developing the when Ares has to go back into he basically becomes a genie. Let's look at it that way. He gets transferred back into a system, an 80s system, with the help of Eve and Seth. They zap him with a laser back
So Jared Leto is the good guy in this movie?
Let me see. Is he good or bad?
Well, was it malfeasance? Is there a bit of malfeasance? No? Okay.
Yeah, there's no real good guys. Jared Leto is he plays an AI which, even in the movie, it's like, oh, are you gonna turn Pinocchio into a real boy? Is a line to choose.
That's what I got that from when I saw the cover the poster. It shows you someone in the real world superimposed over someone in a fake world, or vice versa. Yeah. I can't remember which one it was. So you can obviously tell there's a real person and an AI person in this story.
Yeah. So it's really just that kind of Pinocchio idea. So I won't tell you what happens with the Jared Leto, how he ends at the end.
I don't even think it's been released over in Australia as yet, but if it's being advertised, it may be very shortly, if not, maybe it's already out. I'll have to check up on that. Very interesting, though. Very interesting.
Like I said, I'm giving it, I really like certain parts of it, though. Man, when they reintroduced the old style light cycle from the first movie, I was geeking out big time. He had to drive that thing across. He had to drive, and in fact, he drives it across the same playing surface as the first movie, and the same crack that Tron had to escape through, he escapes through. But there's nobody in the system. There's nothing going on. The only one he runs into is the dude. Once he gets to the main, he just runs into the dude, and the dude talks to him for a few minutes. And then Jeff Bridges is like, man, he's like, right on, man. And then that's kind of
how. So you reckon, Jeff Bridges is a cameo in this film?
Yeah, he's a cameo. Okay. But he's also, they use a lot of previously filmed stuff from the original. You know how they have a lot of B-reel?
Oh, guaranteed.
So they used a lot of B-reel, which was specifically filmed for an expansion, because even at the end, I'll jump to the end real quick. Even at the end, it leaves you with an option to make another one.
Oh, guaranteed.
Because most people won't wait, because this is kind of as the credits roll, a lot of people walk. But
not the under 25s. I have to, been to many movies with my children are all under 22 now. I have had to sit and watch those end credit scenes, because there are spoilers of the next movie always in those credit scenes. Yeah.
Yeah, so what happens in this one is, did you want to know?
Yes, go for it, man. Don't worry about me.
Okay. So then what happens is the Dillinger boy, he gets zapped into his own system. But when he gets there, it's curtains. The place is a shambles. So the whole computer system shambles is what he's looking at. But then the last scene you see is that he becomes a control program, just like his grandfather. Yeah. He has the same suit as the
Ready
first
to
Emperor.
Go. That's
you know what
sequel.
That means? Yeah.
There's a sequel coming in.
So that means, yeah, that means he can start to rebuild that system. And so then, and the other kind of disjointed thing I wasn't really happy with was that they had to reproject a character using the original laser from Flynn's arcade. And you have to then ask yourself, how did Flynn's arcade sit on that corner from the 80s until 2025?
It does not happen. Let me just tell you now. They're all gone. They're all gone.
Yeah, so that was one glaring logical thing that just kind of threw me off at the end. I was like,
well, that's true. But can you name me one laser arcade type, you know, those things you used to have back in the 80s? They're all gone. There's none left. Everyone does it at home now.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like the only scene that I would have come up with something. To me, they wanted nostalgia more than a good story. So they did nostalgia. I would have had him hack into a laser at a working factory and then just beam himself into an unsuspecting clean room somewhere.
I think they should get you as a consultant for the next one, Dave. I'll vote for you. I'll say, Dave J, consultant for Tron 5.
Yeah, man. I'd definitely come up with some stuff for that, man. I was thinking about that for sure. So then I would have used, if I was that Leto guy, he doesn't have enough pull as Nine Inch Nails, because Nine Inch Nails pretty much owns the... And I think they were even executive producers.
Yeah, no, he is big time. What's his name from the Nine Inch Nails? He does. I have to say, he does some really good soundtrack work.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah, that he should have said, man, let me get one of my quote unquote songs in this thing, and that would have been the 30 Seconds to Mars, because that would have been the three in the 30. That would have been the 3G7 reference and the Mars reference.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the Tron, when it premiered in Los Angeles, it was on the 6th. So that's October. So that's your 10/6 or your 7, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's there you go. That's quite interesting. So in short, you don't need to see the first two to kind of get it. But you won't really, because it kind of brings in some scenes from Tron Legacy, the original Tron, and it brings you up to speed. However, there's probably close to half of it. It's filler. Close to half is filler. Close to half.
I think most films are at least 30 to 50% filler, and the rest part of. I think you've said this before quite a few times. Between Bong Decision 1 and Bong Decision 47.
Yeah.
But there are takeaways, and they want you to get the takeaways. There are imagery, and there's numbers for your subconscious to take in, particularly what Gillian Anderson said. If she's, you know, she said 40, you know, what did she say, 45 now? I said, no, it's 47.
Well, yeah. No, she said 25.
25 and 20, yeah, 29. And
then he said, no, 29.
Yeah, that's a takeaway.
9/11 idea.
Yeah.
And, well, you also have just the 47 specifically through, even if you go back to the Tron in 1982, if you look at the Incom digitized display on the MCP interface, it's the program ID is 0047. Right? Yeah. And also, if you go to Tron, the Legacy, the 2010 release, that at 29 seconds, speaking of 29, on the monitor, you see that Flynn's in his apartment on the diagnostic readout, it's flashing 47 megahertz. That's exactly 29 seconds. That's 29 of what we just talked about.
Yeah,
when they're like 25, you know, that would be the 7. Most people say, if they say, what am I going to say? They're going to say 7. No, 29. You see, it's like you expect the 7, which Jillian gave you, 25. She gave you the 7, but then he's like, no, 29 for this case. because it's talking about something different. So then the 29-second mark has been pre-programmed in through Tron since the beginning. And now it's just kind of manifested as this hump, technical hump, which is called a bottleneck, by the way. It's called a bottleneck. That's the bottle that once that 29-second bottleneck got passed, then it became the idea of permanence. And that's also, if you look at it, if you're going to look at any of this stuff and you look at so-called news, just start to punch in some of these different terms and see how they start to show up in the so-called real news.
Exactly. Well, that's true. And exactly. But can we also mention that Metatron, the kind of this kind of, was he a angel or whatever that flies around in the giant cube?
Metatron, that's TRON.
You're listening to 47 Bongversation.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Conversation 47, can you believe it? And we're doing on truthmeets.com, as you just heard. Dave, again, I just mentioned Metatron. What's your feeling? This is from the Book of Enoch, I think.
Well, yeah, he's mentioned there, but also goes back to the Talmud where he's mentioned.
Talmud. That's the one.
He's mentioned three times in the Talmud. He's a so-called angel in the Jewish, Gnostic, and so-called Islam.
Yeah. So we've got Meta, which is now Facebook, and Tron, this huge big push movie with Gillian Anderson and Jared Leto.
It's not going out on a limb to say that the Metatron character spoken about in this case is speaking about none other than Satan.
That's the devil. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. So if you want to look up that character, you'll see that and see, you, like I say, with all these characters, look at their actions. And their actions describe their nature.
Yeah.
By their fruits that you will know them. So, I have a few. Let's think about a few more 47s. Do you know that in the Tron Legacy 2010, that when a program got derezzed? Now, in the movie, if you get derezzed, it means you get it's called dissipation.
Does that mean deresolution? Deresolution.
Yeah, you get deleted. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the lines from the latest Tron Ares is that the girl who's running Greta Lee, who's Eve Kim in the movie, she turns back and she says, "Did Dillinger really say he wanted to delete me?" That's one of the signs. So yeah, because Dillinger's like delete, delete her. So then you get your program is designated as an ID 0047.
Which means in computer terms, delete.
Delete. And also in the cartoon, there's some 47 references as well. You have the downtime or when the terminal goes offline and they think of that sabotage, it's stuck at 47 cycles. And also you also have a corrupted protocol in Tron Uprising, which is called, and the corruption is called Protocol 47.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all through it. What are the odds of us doing episode number 47, Tron coming out last week, and this show? Yesterday,
that's, the 10th on my side.
I mean, you could not synchronize something as good on any different thing, you know, the fact that we've got this show and it's full of 47s, all of them, guaranteed.
And I got a couple more just to round it out. The 47 within, and this is a spoiler for you, so, you know,
you cannot spoil it for me.
Well, the function 47 is revealed in the movie to be the core of the permanence code.
As in the apple.
Exactly, the core, which is the center of the swastika idea, the 47, the center is revealed in Tron Ares as being the core of the permanence code.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then also the permanence code is transferred as what looks like a double helix into a specific character. I'll just tell you that in the film. And then that permanence coat, getting back to, and here's, and we're kind of working all the way back to where we started with the Elid's 47th problem.
Yeah.
With that you problem could. Is that, and here's the truth. Yeah, you could. The truth of the matter is that you only need a fragment of anything to know what it is. And that's what this is talking about, meaning that that fragment's put in, the permanence code is a fragment, because from a fragment, the truth can be revealed. And that's well, what that I show.
Well, that fits some of the Bible narrative too. I found fragments of the old, the Book of Enoch was fragments put together, and same with the, go.
Yeah, so that's the also the idea of the fragment, because just think of a hologram, and this kind of gets into how holograms are used in a lot of science fiction and why they're used. But holograms, if you have a glass, if you have glass, and you have a holographic image projected into glass, and it's shattered, each piece of the glass is going to then contain the whole image. If you have a way to take it out, to remove it, or to see it. So then each piece, each shard is going to have a remnant of the whole. So that's why that this hoax system, and why it fools so many people, is that it's one degree, it's one splinter off of the truth, off the true line.
Interesting.
It's very close to looking legit. That where if most people aren't, if they don't take their time to look at it and to test and study before they step, they're going to fall for it again and again and again.
Yep. Well, I agree.
So then the DNA contains what's called the function 47, and it's part of the permanence code. That's the big kind of reveal. And it's also called a living key. It's also called, it's Flynn's legacy. Because Flynn and now Ares and anyone else who's in a system, not so much Ares, but let's say the Dillinger son, now that they've been projected into a so-called isolated system, they can build within that system. But until somebody taps them or interacts with that database or reconnects with it, they're a genie in a bottle. They have no power. Yeah. However, I can tell you already what's going to happen this next movie is that somebody's going to be screwing around. Some nerd's going to hack into
and
a
open
system.
It up and open it back up again.
Yeah. And it's going to be, and then he's going to start.
It's a classic story of genie in the bottle. And what's the name? The opens up the Pandora. It's a Pandora story again.
Pandora's box, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a guy named Daniel Suarez who did a book or a series of books about AI type of going out of control and sending. Yeah. It's called Daemon or Demon. So Daemon.
I told you,
a computer demon, like a mailing demon. Demons are a program that do not need the interaction of the user to press enter. They execute things on their own. They also they'll fork orphans files. They'll do all kinds of things. They'll fork orphan files.
And what's the devil meant to walk around with a pitchfork?
So they'll fork those orphan files. It's like get out of there. So what happens in the Daemon book, and this came out in 2006, is that the computer starts to send bank transfers, because it's all digital, to these companies with 3D printing requests. And then those parts would then be sent to a fabricator and a blueprint would be sent to their email. The computer was doing all this, and as long as these actual human beings, so-called, were getting paid, they were putting these things together. And the computer was making these self-driving motorcycles, remote control planes, all kinds of stuff. And then the AI started wreaking havoc, doing its thing. You know, if you didn't comply, your money all went away. Kind of, yep. Every that type of thing. And then, of course, it's followed up by a book called Freedom, where it describes this digital, almost like the dude, the thing, where it's like, oh, man, it's
the
all
big, good. The, cool. And the Big Lebowski was where they modeled himself on that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that came out in 2010. I thought that book series was pretty good until the middle of Freedom, and then it just he kind of ran out of things to talk about.
Yeah,
I almost think at that point he shouldn't have released and just stuck with the first one and just left it as a cliffhanger, because sometimes you can ruin it, you know, when you go too far.
Oh, I think people are tied to contracts a lot of the time, and they've been told you've got to do that, and it ruins. It's like you cannot allow your creativity to be stifled by money, and that's what money does. It ruins things. And you know, you probably find the original book didn't want to do that, but
right,
you know, he was put in a contractual obligation.
But and what that ties in, though, it ties into when I told you about the designs and in actual real world head manufacturing just show up in email, and where the process engineers just do little tweaks on how many, you know, milliseconds do I run this sputtering of a gold layer. So the only kind of adjustments they can make are very small window adjustments. And it's like, oh, I'll change it to, you know, 3 milliseconds or 3.2 milliseconds. And then as long as you don't go out without outside of a window, the end product is still going to work. And the company and the person still thinks they actually did something.
Yeah.
Because they did do something in theory, but they didn't do anything other than work within a
parameter.
An allowable tolerance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Parameter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A go, no go.
Yeah.
You know, what's called a go,
So you're in a box, basically, and you're not getting out of it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can play within this box, and that's going to make you think that we're going to pay you really well and do all this stuff, and it's not going to make any sense where all the money's coming from, but don't worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as long as the check clears, and it's like, okay.
And when it goes back to the Bible, the love of, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
It's the greatest controlling mechanism, because great minds will be controlled. They'll say, now you've said a bit too much, or can you not say that? And people just do it because they need to feed their family, or they need to put food on the table, or buy whatever they need. So much of our whole society has been decimated by the control of money, for sure, guaranteed.
Oh yeah. Oh, so then also, just before we kind of, because some people still get confused with names too. So when you're talking about the so-called Aries figure, it's the same character who's assigned with Mars,
and Aries, with Mars, the star sign Aries. Yeah.
Dealing with Aries or Mars, and then on the flip side, you have the Athena, the Isis, the Minerva, all the same character in the end. Just really, just speaking of, if you were to describe someone you know, and you describe different aspects of their nature or their character, and if you split their different nature of their character into different, you know, little idols, and you said, oh, he's acting like this right now, or this right now, or this right now, they're all the same person, but you're saying that they sometimes act like this, sometimes act like this, sometimes act like this. You know, so it's like you took the time to isolate each and every kind of manifestation of their personality, and at this point it breaks down to 72. If you deal with all the different, the so-called what's put out into the script in this place now, even if you don't go by the scripture, which is the KJV, which is used by just this place and those who call
the ruling people.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it goes back to the House of Windsor, which is in fact the House of Tudor. Goes back to the War of the Roses, which was not. And we talked about that last week. So so you're dealing with a certain family, and just a family blood, or really that's it's different than family. It's more of a bloodline Because
I think so.
Bloodline. Yeah, it's a wire in the blood. And the wire in the blood, the idea of the consistency, allows communication. And there's a and so this goes beyond men in rooms and men in black suits. It's a spiritual guidance. So then the ways and means and functions of these individuals are not of free will. They literally have an idea put into their head, and they act it out on the public stage.
Yeah, that's a good way of explaining it. Dave, I think we've probably blown enough incredible information. I mean, sorry, you've blown enough incredible information. I've added to a few things. But I think we round it off now because I kind of get this. There's so much good stuff, and it's one of the better shows we've ever done. I always say that, actually. This is one of the, it's always better than the last one. But that was a really, really infomercial laden show, particularly the Tron stuff.
I was happy it all worked out. It all lined up.
And fabulous to be back on truthmeets.com. So at least we know our voices are going to get recorded properly. And there will be no issues on the next show, which will be episode number 48, which should be knocking out this time next week.
Yeah.
And so, Dave, you're going to be doing a YouTube of this at some stage, or will it help? Yeah.
What I plan to do is, so I'll spend the next day or so thinking about what we went over, because it just kind of comes as it comes. And I want to make sure that I put... Because sometimes I'll put a video and want to put something else in, but I already uploaded it, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time to put some different.
Well, things. You cannot rush creativity and stuff. If it comes out, it comes out whenever you do it.
Yeah, so I'm going to add some Tron stuff in the background. I'm planning on doing a something in paint. I have to say, to where I can show the manifestations of the 4/7s. Into the swastika and some other signs. Also, the 4/7s will create what's called the tetrahedron.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, remember the big tetrahedron, the Hoagland character?
Richard Hoagland from
Art Bell. Yeah. Richard Art Bell. C. Yeah. Hoagland. Richard C. Hoagland. CCC 3G7. Richard C. Hoagland. He always got introduced as Richard C. Hoagland. And, and he would always be doing the tetrahedron thing.
Oh, yeah.
He was always going on and on about the tetrahedron and the face on Mars. And he's also...
I'll just add this. As a conspiracist from the from the 70s, really, but with a person with the ability to buy things and read things and see things in the 80s, Richard Hoagland and that face of Mars was all over the place. Huge star in the conspiracy.
He even went on CNN. Man, he was so good at keeping you through those 2 hours and never saying nothing.
Exactly.
Never saying nothing, man. He would not say anything. At least with the Malachi, which we talked about earlier, Malachi Martin, he would talk about some dumb. He did a lot of kind of exorcism stuff. Some of it was
But that was I was way more interested in him than Hoagland. But Hoagland is
And what where Malachi fell off was towards the end. He started talking into some nonsense stuff, but his first few shows, and I want to say he was on at least 10 different times. Some might have been kind of rewinds or best ofs.
This is we're talking about the coast to coast Art Bell.
Coast Art Bell AM out of Pahrumph, Nevada.
And good stuff. To be honest, they woke a lot of people up.
Do you know what he was? Yeah, he did. But do you know what he was a gate for? He was a gate for the moon landing hoax.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was a big time gate. He used to wig out, man. He used to wig out when people brought that up in the end.
He'd be hung up on.
Yeah. And finally, towards the end, he brought a couple on that had written books. On the subject, and he at least let them speak, but he was quite sideways with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some pretty good guests towards the end, because he almost was getting to the point of just being, you know, when the audience is already past that point where most of his audience knew, he's like, he's got to move a little bit with it. Otherwise, he's going to get, you know, he'll become irrelevant. And I do want to say that one of the better, there's some interesting color stuff before we forget about the, and move along with the Tron Ares, is the use of color. And the Athena woman or character is being portrayed as black. That's quite interesting, because in Tron, when your circuit becomes pure, your color, because you could be red or blue, your color code changes and you become white. Your lines become white. This and
so is this inversion or is this,
you know, inversion? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's also showing you that it's using so-called skin color.
Hang on. You're listening to Bongversation 47, Beatle.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Joel, yeah, Bongversation 47. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So you have the Athena character who's presented as a black woman. Her name's Jodie Turner Smith is the actress name. It's not the skin color. It's the idea presented in so-called
Negrino. And isn't it Negrino as well? Negrino. The when you're doing that. You know, creating base, you know, to make something more purified.
Right.
You know, they heat it up until it remove the black, it turns white.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's really it's trying to show you kind of in the use of you know, face and skin tone, spiritual idea, which isn't necessarily related at all to the actual person
himself.
Although Athena plays a badass, the Athena character, what she does, because the Ares character, as the one who was presented as being, you know, he's really the Lucifer character, the Satan character. He's presented as this perfect AI. He falls in love with mankind, so he offers them
a solution, you
know, this way out. So he offers Eve the way out of the system. The Athena character, on the other hand, sticks to the program, meaning that everything she's destroying on the way is just in service of completing the task she was given.
Yeah,
so she was doing nothing but following orders. So then the destruction she's offering is not personal, you know.
No.
It's all to get to the end result, which is to get Eve. That was her whole goal. You know, so then, yeah, so that's kind of, if you look at it that way, you see that whole story playing out as a sub story to all the rest that you see. Because really, like I say, close to half of it is cutting room floor stuff.
But it sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I'll be going to see it. Maybe not actually, I could go and see it at the movies if I wanted to. Yeah, maybe I will.
You could.
Maybe I will. And Dave, I think we'll wind it up now, though, because I think...
Do we close it on this one? Do we just stop talking? Or can
we'll say goodbye. We'll say goodbye and we jump out of the room and go, or you can pop into the green room for a little bit. But thank you very much for those people out there. And there's a lot of people listen to the Bongversations, and we're really happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to hear stuff. And I'm going to have to blow some more smoke up Dave's anatomy. The guy is telling you stuff that you're not going to hear anywhere else. You may hear copies, but you're not going to hear this originally. So well done, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Well done. And by the way, I don't have 100% access to my YouTube. I can upload things, but I don't really get notices at all. So if anybody's listening to an old show, just put a note in whatever the last video that I put up, no matter what it is, just put it in there, because that's the first place I'm going to be able to see it. And then I'll just answer it. Yeah, so that's really the best way, because I go back from time to time, but I have to go back to each individual video and click on it and then find the comments. And I found out
We're talking about OG. We're talking about using the new phrase OG. gangster, which is Dave 100%. As far as going back to, you know, we're talking about a guy who's been a very, very prolific YouTuber and broadcaster over many years. So there's a lot of stuff out there that may, sometimes it may pop back in again. Some of your old channels may suddenly arrive again too. This has happened, yeah. I do believe. I do believe. Anyway, we'll wind it up and we'll say goodbye, and I'll chat to you in the green room briefly, and then I'm off.
I'll see you there.
But fabulous day.
Cheers, everybody. Be blessed.
Yep. Be blessed. Bye.
Bye.